Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for getting ready to tune into a new episode of Shooting Lights Out, the Playmakers Blog, and Shooting Lights Out are proudly sponsored by Fanatics. Officially license everything at fanatics.com. Get great deals, great sales with Fanatics. Officially license everything. And also, we're brought to you by Liz. Locker Room by Liz. Get your favorite headgear, your favorite hat with your favorite team logo. Get custom jerseys, custom t-shirts, all with Locker Rooms by Liz. That is Locker Rooms by Liz and Fanatics. Now, ladies and gentlemen, time for a special edition of Shooting Lights Out.
Viking music, don't it?
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go. Gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go. Let's go.
Shooting Lights Out.
Ladies and gentlemen, how y'all doing today? Let me get this off the screen real quick. Welcome to episode 2 or 3 this week of Shooting Lights Out. I'm happy to be doing this second episode of this week. First and foremost, shout out to my brother, Shadow2Real, for the great song that is the intro and the outro for Shooting Lights Out. You can follow my boy, Shadow2Real, on Apple, Spotify, all music platforms that they are. I love him. That's my brother. He's done a great job. Check his music out. He does a great thing with his music. Now, episode 2, right, of this week, because it's that time of year, ladies and gentlemen. Currently, at the time of this recording, we have our first 4 being played out. Right now, we have Southeast Missouri State taking on Texas A&M Corpus Christi down up in Dayton right now. That is going on right now as I'm recording. Last time I checked, Texas A&M Corpus Christi was leading by 1. Very contested game right now. Both teams going back and forth. I like what I'm seeing from both teams. Nevertheless, I will get to the brackets later in the show, because this is what we're talking about. It's March Madness. It's tournament time. It's the best time of the year. Best sporting event of the year, in my opinion. Yeah, some of y'all might feel different, but my favorite sporting event as far as postseason-wise is the NCAA tournament. I am ready for it. Speaking of which, the women's, I will talk about the women's tomorrow. And now I have special guest, Miss Megan Price of 806 Sports down in Texas and AKA the Queen of Hoops. She'll be joining me to talk the women's side. I might bring somebody else on and whatnot, but we shall see. Nevertheless, I'm not going to waste too much of your time. We got things to do, so you already know it. It's NCAA basketball we're talking about. We're talking about the men's right now because it's tournament time, ladies and gentlemen. It's tournament time. But we do have some news to go. First news to go over, Bill Self in good condition, set to rejoin the Kansas Jayhawks as they are the number one seed in their region. That would be the West region. I will get to the West region when I get to break down each region and whatnot. Next up, Georgia Tech finalized Damon Stoudemire hire. Josh Paston and Georgia Tech part ways after 7 years. When it's been an up and down 7 years for him and Georgia Tech. Damon Stoudemire currently assistant with the Boston Celtics, the team with the second best record in the league, right behind the Milwaukee Bucks. That's something that, you know, things happen like that. 7 years and things ain't get done like you want to, so you have to make changes wherever you can make changes and whatnot. But it is what it is at this moment in time. But Damon Stoudemire gets a head coaching gig. Shout out to him. Can't wait to see what he does and whatnot. Shout out to him. We'll see how he rolls down in the ATL with the Yellow Jackets. Chris Beard is back in the college rankings as he is hired as the Ole Miss Rebels' new basketball coach. But I'm happy that he gets another chance. You know, the whole domestic violence thing with his fiance, it was kind of crazy and whatnot. He wasn't charged. She said that he really didn't do what she initially said he did. That can go many different directions, but I'm not the one to make an opinion on that one. I'm not to judge on that one. Nevertheless, he wasn't charged. She ultimately said he didn't really do what she made people think he did. And it's good that he gets another chance to be a head coach of a college basketball team, because he was doing good with Texas, even though Texas still managed to do their thing without him. He had Texas playing some great ball, especially last year, this year. Now he gets a chance to try to do the same thing with the Ole Miss Rebels. Snub Tar Heels elect to skip NIT, focus on moving ahead. That's right, dear. North Carolina Tar Heels, you know, they was a big disappointment. And so much I want to speak. You know what? You know what? We're going to do this the right way. We're going to take a break. The Playmakers Blog is proudly to announce that it is sponsored by Fanatics. Fanatics, where you can get all your official license, sports gear, memorabilia, whether it's for the National Football League, the National Basketball Association, Major League Baseball, National Hockey League, or even International Soccer League, or even college sports. So rep your team, rep the hardware, get comfortable, because Fanatics is the way to go, where sports fans shop and official license everything. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. I had to take a break because, damn it, North Carolina, you're getting a flagrant foul. I said I was going to do this right, and I meant it. Flagrant foul on North Carolina, goddamn it. There's no secret why y'all getting a flagrant foul, but I'm going to go through it anyway because I need to get this off my goddamn chest. 20-13, finished 7 in the goddamn ACC. Matter of fact, your ACC record was 11-9, I believe. Preseason number one. Don't worry. You can't see me on screen, but I don't need you to see me. I need you to focus on the North Carolina Tar Heels. Preseason number one. Going into the season. Number one, North Carolina. Number two, Gonzaga. Three, Houston. Four, Kentucky. Five, Baylor. Kansas, six. Wins the reigning defending champions. Duke, seven. UCLA, eight. Creighton, nine. Arkansas, 10. You see the rest of the top 25. Preseason number one is the North Carolina Tar Heels. UNC Tar Heels. The team that beat them in the championship came in at ranked six to start the season. Most all-time preseason AP number one, North Carolina 10, Duke is 9, UCLA 8. It's the 10th time the North Carolina Tar Heels breaking the tie with the Duke Blue Devils of being an AP number one in a preseason going into a season. 10! That's a decade's worth. The AP, the Associated Press, looking at you and saying, you guys are number one in our list. Okay? Number one in the books. Number one. This is what the ACC poll looked like going into the season. North Carolina, number one. Duke, number two. Virginia, number three. Miami, four. Florida State, five. Notre Dame 6, Virginia Tech 7, Syracuse 8, Wake Forest 9, NC State 10, and as you can see, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15. First place, most of the parentheses. North Carolina got 90 of them. 90 of the first place votes from the ACC. there's a total of 111 votes. North Carolina got 90 of them. So there's 11 votes out there. Two went to Duke, two went to Miami. Six went to Virginia. That's 10 right there. And your last one went to Virginia Tech. Everybody's on the North Carolina bandwagon. And this was the end results. UNC misses tournament. UNC is the first preseason AP number one team to miss the tournament since the field expanded to 64 teams in 1985. We are in the year 2023. Now, if my math serves me correctly, and I believe it does, that is 38 years going on 40. You telling me in four decades, no AP preseason number one team missed the tournament up to now? Now, let's check my maps, shall we? Yes. 38 years. It's been 38 years since the field was suspended to 64. Now it's suspended to 68, to be exactly. And you're telling me that the North Carolina Tar Heels, you know, the school that Michael Jordan went to, James Worthy, Vince Carter, Tyler Hansborough, Ty Lawson. You know, we can throw more names out there if you want to, you know. Led by Coach Dean Smith, Roy Williams. But this team, this exact team that was in the national championship game last year, he lost to Kansas after he had a 16-point lead that you blew in the second half, by the way. Armando Bacot came back. Caleb Love came back. R.J. Davis came back. Leaky Black came back. Hubert Davis is in his second year as a coach. And you do this. Now, I do have an issue with North Carolina fans, because that's why they should have got in. They did this, this. I'm explaining to you why, North Carolina fans. The reason why y'all didn't deserve to get in the tournament, and the reason why history was made in the worst way. This is the final standings of the Atlantic Coast Conference. Miami finished 25-7 overall, as well as Virginia, both finished with the record 15-5. Third is the Clemson Tigers. 23-10 overall, 14-16. Fourth and tied with the Clemson Tigers is a three-way tie. Clemson, Duke, and Pitt all had a conference record of 14-6, but the Eds went to Clemson, Duke, and then Pitt. Your sixth spot is the North Carolina State Wolfpack at 12-8. And then at 7 is the North Carolina Tar Heels with a conference record of 11-9. 11-9. The Tar Heels have the 73rd overall resume in the country, according to Team Ranks Team Cast, and are 45th in the net ranking. Carolina has a 2-9 record in quad one games, with a 5-4 record in quad two opportunities. And the Tar Heels are 13-0 against quad three and quad four opponents. Quad three and quad four opponents don't mean a goddamn thing. Quad one opponents means tournament teams, and quad two means teams that's fighting for tournament power. They could get in, they may not get in. Nevertheless, 2-9 against quad one, 5-4 against quad two. Here are the tournament teams that the North Carolina Tar Heels beat. These are the only teams that is in a tournament that North Carolina beat. Starting to be beginning of the season, November 11th, at home versus the College of Charleston, 102-86. You got that? College of Charleston, who is in the NCAA tournament. We will get to them when we get to the, let me see here, the South region. In-state rival from Raleigh, North Carolina, NC State. That game was on January 21st of this year. That game was at home in Chapel Hill. 80-69. And then your final win, which is the second of your quad one wins, because NC State was your first one, your second quad one win, was against Virginia, who was ranked sixth at the time, if I remember correctly. And you beat them February 25th of this year, 71-63, in Chapel Hill, by the way. So one, you only beat three tournament teams on your entire resume. Two of them is worth the quad one win. That's NC State and Virginia. And you won all three of them at home in Chapel Hill, which means you didn't do a damn thing on the goddamn road. You ain't do nothing on the road. Okay? Now, what I'm finna do here, I'm finna look at the schedule. I'm finna go back and look at y'all's schedule because... let's see. I'm gonna give you the other opportunity they could have had. Iowa State in the Field of Night Invitational, you lost as the number one team in the country, 70-65. I believe it was a third place game with the Alabama Crimson Tide, who was winning 18 at the time. They beat you 103-104 in four overtimes. And then you had the ACC Big Ten Challenge when you went to Assembly Hall to face off with the Indiana Hoosiers. Excuse me. And they beat you 77-65. We're going to keep going. Virginia Tech beat you 80-72, and they're not even in the tournament. You beat Ohio State when they was ranked 23rd in the CBS Classic. You beat them 89-84 in overtime. Then you beat Michigan right after that for the Jumpman Invitational, 80-76. And we thought you was going to turn the corner. Apparently not, because you lose to Pitt to begin ACC title. You lost the first game against Virginia. That was in Virginia, by the way. 65-58. You beat Ray Forest, you beat Notre Dame, you beat Louisville, you beat Boston College, and then you beat North Carolina State. You was on a 5-game winning streak, 6-game winning streak. You beat Syracuse, and we about to see North Carolina turn the corner. You got your revenge against Virginia. That's 7. And then here comes the fall. You lose to Pitt at home. You go to Cabernetos, you get beat by Duke. You lose at Wake Forest. You come back, you beat Clemson. You get beat by Miami. You get beat by NC State. You sweep Notre Dame. You beat Florida State. You lose in the quarterfinals of the ACC tournament. No, you lose to Duke again. Duke goes to Chapel Hill and sweeps the series. And then you lose to Virginia in the quarterfinals after you beat Boston College in the second round. Not a lot of good wins on that I just spread out there. Not a lot of good wins. You had a lot of losses, but not a lot of good wins. Okay? So now we get here to the article that actually started this off. Snub Tar Heels elect to skip NIT, focus on moving ahead. Yeah, you better. After this disastrous season that was there in Chapel Hill, here by Davis, one of what's going to happen with Amendo Bedcott, what's going to happen with Caleb Love, RJ Davis, Leaky Black, what's going to happen with those guys? Are those guys going to say, forget the next season and let's go ahead and go on to the NBA? Or are they going to come back and wipe that taste out their mouth? Okay, can you guys do what a Virginia did? You know, Virginia made history in the worst way, too. You know, they the first and only number one seed to get beat by a 16 seed in the first round of the NCAA tournament. They came back the following year and won the whole damn thing by clamping everybody down. We thought North Carolina was going to do the same thing after they blew a 16-point lead to the Kansas Jayhawks in the national championship game. But this is where we are at. So how do you feel about this one, North Carolina? You got sweep by Duke. you missed the tournament because you only got three wins versus tournament teams. Three. And only two of them was Carver 1 wins, NC State and Virginia. So, yes, this is Hubert Davis leaving the court after Virginia took them out in the ACC tournament in Greensboro. What you gonna do? How you gonna bounce back from this one? Cause this is not acceptable for North Carolina. This is terrible. North Carolina should not be going through this, but here we are. Terrible. Resume sucks. Quality of wins suck. You beat all the bad teams, but you can't beat the teams that you need to beat. Huh? You lost both games to Duke. Pitt got you twice. Okay? Miami got you. NC State split with you. Virginia beat you 2 out of 3. I mean, you beat up on Clemson, not in the tournament. Florida State, not in the tournament. Louisville, not in the tournament. Who have you beaten to get in the tournament? Nobody. This is why we're having this flag and foul right now. So, no care. As you go into the offseason, as you should. I want you to think about what took place this season. I want you to think very hard. And I want you to figure out how you can wipe this taste off your mouth, even if your starting five don't come back this time. That means I'm in a bad cot. RJ Davis, Caleb Love, and Leaky Black going to the NBA to resume their actual dreams. Hubert Davis, you must rebound from this. You have to rebound from this because this is terrible of what we saw from the North Carolina Tar Heels. So, yes, y'all got the flame.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Into the Net FC.
Kylian Mbappe just all of a sudden finally understood his role, and I think he finally understood that everything Kylian Mbappe has accomplished already, you know, there is still a hell of a lot waiting for him in the future. Kylian Mbappe is only 24 years old. He has accomplished so much, and you know what? Kylian Mbappe has not even reached his prime.
Finally seeing, you know, the Marcus Rashford we have been hoping for such a long time, you know. But, you know, this game, you know, after everything Manchester United has been, you know, doing lately, you know, this was actually the ultimate test, you know, to see if Manchester United, you know, honestly was all of a sudden for real.
I explain this. The United States, maybe they have to suffer this loss as a lesson to learn to prepare for the future. Because 4 years from now, the World Cup is in not one, not two, but three countries. The United States of America, Canada, and Mexico. Into the Net FC is available on all streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube.
All right, welcome back to Shooting Lights Out. Shout out to my man, the Bear Man of Texas, Alizaka's office. Into the Net FC, so all you soccer fans out there, follow Into the Net LC on all streaming platforms that you listen to your podcast on. As you can see, we're getting ready to talk March Madness now because it's that time. And to give you a quick update, even though this is recorded, Texas A&M Corpus Christi has an 8-point lead as they are under a minute to go. So that's something to look forward to. The winner of that game gets Alabama in the South region. And I think that's where we're going to begin at, ladies and gentlemen. In the South region, the number one overall CD, Alabama Crimson Tide. They come in running high, doing their thing. They come in with a record of 29-5, the SEC champions, regular season and tournament-wise. Brandon Miller, despite everything he has been through, he has led this team to they be champions. Nate Oates has done a good job with this team despite everything that has gone on. Like I said earlier, they get to win over Texas A&M Corpus Christi, or Southeast Missouri State. Nevertheless, I don't see neither one of them teams beating and stopping the rule that Alabama is on. I'm just going to say he'll be here right now. Now, my bracket is not fully filled out. I'm going to fill some of it here on the show. But for now, we're just going to make it happen. But I don't see Bama losing to any one of those teams. You have a 8-9 matchup of Maryland Terrapins and the West Virginia Mountaineers. You have the Maryland Terrapins coming in as a 21-12 record. The Virginia Tech Mountaineers a 19-14 record. Press Virginia, you know, is always interesting to how teams prepare for Bob Huggins and that press defense that Virginia Tech likes to deploy, which a lot of people call it Press Virginia. Maryland is usually known for having great scores, great ball movement, great offensive players. This is going to be an interesting 8-9 matchup. The way things are going, I think I like Maryland in this one. I think I'm leaning Maryland on this one. Like I said, my bracket does not fill it out, and I will fill it out in due time. But I think I'm leaning towards Maryland in that one. Your 5-12 matchup has San Diego State going against College of Charleston. And College of Charleston comes in with a 31-3 record. San Diego State 27-6. This is a matchup that could go either way. San Diego State hasn't been the type of San Diego State team we have seen in the past. Even though they still won, you know, 27 games, they do kind of lack some offensive firepower. Defense is not as potent as it used to be. Still, it's still pretty up there, but it's not as potent as it used to be. College of Charleston, you don't win 31 games for no reason, man. So I'm not looking past y'all. But I am leaning San Diego State, to be quite honest with you, because, you know, San Diego State is known for getting me a couple of wins in the NCAA tournament of the year. So I'm really leaning San Diego State on that one. Your 4-13 matchup, the Virginia Cavaliers, and they'll be facing off with Furman. Furman coming in as a 27-17, Virginia 25-7. Virginia still got the defensive tenacity, but they struggling on offense and Furman. I watched Furman in that tournament, and they can shoot. You know, they can shoot the rock. You know, they can put the ball in the bucket. So this is going to be kind of interesting, man. You know, as always, you're looking for that 5-12 upset, that 4-13 upset. You know, that 7-10 upset. You know, these types of upsets that you're looking for. You know, Furman might can get this one because Virginia doesn't really score that well. And if they have one of them days that they just can't put the ball in the bucket, Furman can catch them. It can catch them slipping. So I'm a little worried about Tony Bennett and his Cavaliers going into this one. But I'm going to give Tony Bennett the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to give Tony Bennett the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to leave Virginia on that one. Yeah, your 6-11 matchup, Creighton versus NC State. Now, this is a very interesting matchup. Creighton 21-12 from the Big East. NC State 23-10 from the ACC. Don't like this matchup for Creighton, to say the least. NC State likes to clamp down on defense. They like to turn you over. They like to get out and run. Creighton likes to shoot the rock. They like to do half-court offense and stuff like that. So if Creighton guards cannot turn the ball over, they can win this game. But if they do, it's going to be a problem. So right now, I'm leaning NC State in that one because I think that defense of NC State might be too much for the Creighton Blue Jays. Your 3-14 matchup is also an interesting one. Baylor as the 3 seed from the Big 12 and UC Santa Barbara from the Big West, 27-7. Baylor's been up and down this year. You know, after winning the national championship 2 years ago, they've been on a kind of a downward spiral lately. When they won it 2 years ago, they was clearly the top two teams in the country outside of Gonzaga. It was clearly there. Then the following year, it was pretty well. This year's been a little bit more rough. So, and then you got UC Santa Barbara, that team there. They big, they defend, and they can shoot. So Baylor need to be on their toes because UC Santa Barbara ain't a team to take lightly here. They're not. I'm leaning Baylor, but I'm not too sure. I'm gonna lean Baylor right now. But that is a tough one. That could be one of the big upsets. That 3-14 upset. That could be one right there in the South region. 7-10, Missouri and Utah State. This is going to be an interesting game, up and down, fourth game. Teams that can shoot the ball, put the ball in the bucket. Teams that can defend. I'm gonna roll with Missouri because I think Missouri gonna want to get a little payback from not winning the SEC tournament because they had to run into Alabama. In the semifinals, I think they take that momentum of disappointment and use it to their advantage. And then your 2-15 matchup, Arizona and Princeton. This is not a type of matchup Arizona needed in the first round. Winners of the Pac-12 going against the winners of the Ivy League. One thing people don't understand about the Ivy League, these dudes are not only book smart, they are game smart too. They know how to prepare for an opponent. They understand, they will study tape, they will study film, they will do their homework, and they will prepare themselves as best they can for the Arizona Wildcats. Arizona need to prepare themselves too because Princeton can shoot. Princeton can shoot from three. Princeton has the shooters to keep up with Arizona. But I like the big, I like the size of Arizona, so I'm going to roll with Zona on this one. I'm going to roll with Zona. But I'm just saying, you got to be careful when it comes to the Princeton or any teams in the Ivy League. That's the South. Let's head over to the Midwest, shall we? The number one seed in the Midwest is the Houston Cougars. Number one team, 31-3, I believe, for the Houston Cougars. 31-3. Just came up short in the American Championship game against Memphis. But nevertheless, they deserve the number one ranking. They'll be facing off with Northern Kentucky, and I don't see Northern Kentucky having a shot in a chance. As the Vince McMahon music singers for my day of the evening, as Vince McMahon music says, no chance! No chance in hell! You got no chance! No chance for Northern Kentucky in that one. Your 8-9 matchup. Iowa from the Big Ten, Auburn from the SEC. A down year for the Auburn Tigers and Bruce Pearl. Nevertheless, they still did enough to get into the NCAA tournament. Iowa did enough to get into the NCAA tournament. This is going to be an interesting 8-9 matchup in the Midwest. That game is actually taking place out there in Birmingham, Alabama. Auburn getting a home court advantage. I think that plays a role. I think I'm a slide Auburn right there. I think Auburn getting a little home court advantage there. Birmingham, Alabama. Interesting how the selection committee did that. 5-12 matchup, Miami versus Drake. You're talking 25-7 Miami versus 27-7 Drake. Miami, you know, they roll high. They did well in the ACC. They was number one seed in the ACC tournament. They got taken out by Duke. Drake is a team that you don't want to mess with. Drake won the Missouri Valley Conference, if I remember correctly. That team you don't want to overlook. That team is something not to be played with. Miami could get caught. They could get caught, but I'm gonna roll with the Canes, though. I'm gonna roll with the Canes. I think they do what they need to do not to get upset. I think they pulled that one out. That's the 5-12. Your 4-13 matchup is Indiana versus Kent State. Here's the thing. Outside of Tyrese Jackson Davis, Indiana does not impress me, man. They just don't. And Kent State, they can run. They can run. They can ball. This might be my 4-13 upset. I think I might go Kent State. Just to let you know, I might change it when I freestyle put my bracket together. But right now, I'm going Kent State. This is gonna be interesting. And then we get to the 6-11 matchup, Iowa State versus Mississippi State. The winner of Mississippi State and Pittsburgh. This could be an interesting one because if it's Pitt, I like Iowa. But if it's Mississippi State, I got to think about it. Iowa's great defensively. Number one defensive team in the Big 12. I ain't going to hold you. But if it's Pitt, I like their chances with no problem. If it's Mississippi State, it could get dicey for you. Yeah, I'm saying it's good to get at this for me. So I'm going to hold off on that one. Xavier versus Kennesaw State. for your 3-14 matchup. I know people are looking at Kennesaw State as a chance, but I don't see it. I think Xavier, they're going to take that bitter taste out their mouth of getting destroyed by Marquette in the Big East tournament, in the Big East championship game, and they're going to take their frustrations out on Kennesaw State. 7-10, Texas A&M versus Penn State. Texas A&M coming off a loss to the Alabama Crimson Tide in the SEC championship. And Penn State coming off a loss in the Big Ten championship to Purdue. Which team can channel the loss in a positive way and advance to the round of 32 in the NCAA tournament? I think I'm going to lean Penn State. How Penn State played against Purdue was very impressive for me. But I'm going to lean Penn State right now. And then 2 versus 15, Colgate versus Texas. This has been a topic of discussion from analysts from ESPN that Colgate can match up with Texas pretty well. But, you know, I got the queen of who's coming on tomorrow, so I cannot try her like that. So I'm going to just go ahead and pick Texas for right now, and we'll see how it goes. By the time tournament starts, I might change my pick. So we're going to go to the East region next. Well, let's take a break real quick, and then when we come back, we're going to be the East, as you see. The Playmakers Bar is proudly to announce that it landed a partnership deal with Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus. Stream live sports from any device that you have, whether it's your computer, laptop, or even your cellular device. Catch breaking news live when it happens, and enjoy a mountain of entertainment from movies to shows to whatever you love doing. Paramount Plus. Plan starts at $4.99 a month, but right now, you can get a free trial. Just hit that link below with the Playmakers blog and start your free trial right now. Paramount Plus, mountains of entertainment. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to head over to the East region here as we continue on the episode 2 of Street Lights Out for this week, the men's NCAA tournament. Your number one team in the East is the Purdue Boilermakers, the Big Ten champions. With a record of 29-5, they will face the winner of their first four matchup between the Texas Southern and Fredlin Dickerson. I was going to do something about Fredlin Dickerson getting in the tournament over Monmouth, who actually won their conference tournament, but because of the NCAA reclassifying rules, it takes 4 years, so they couldn't get it. Then, so it's the fact that Fredlin Dickerson was the opponent in the championship game, they get the bid. So that's how that worked out, but I'll deal with that in a different time. Either way, Texas Southern is no slouch. They have been here before, and they have pulled out some upsets, man. So it's kind of hard for me, but I'm gonna roll with Purdue. Who matter who wins this one, you know? Because I think with Eden, as you see, the guy, the main star of this region, I think he's just too much for any team for a team like Texas Southern or Fredlin Dickerson. Yeah, 8-9 match. This is where we get interesting at Memphis versus Florida Atlantic. Memphis, the American champions, 26-8 versus the Conference USA champions in FAU, 31-3 are the Owls of Florida Atlantic. Now, I watched Memphis play against Houston. They were on it. They were not playing around. I really haven't got to see Florida Atlantic, but when you win 31 games, I got to take that to account, because you just don't win 31 games in a given basketball season. You just don't win 31 games. I'm just going to let you know right now. As I'm looking at this bracket, let me see how many teams won 30 games. You got College of Charleston, who won 30. You have Houston, who won 31. You have Florida Atlantic, who has won 30. Oral Robinson, we're going to get to later on in this bracket, who has won 30 games. That's it. Four teams. You have literally four teams who have won 30 games. Four teams who have won 30 games as in the tournament. I don't take that lightly, man. I don't take that lightly. But Penny Hardaway and Memphis, I think they got the needed that they needed to get their first ever conference tournament championship. I think they can take that and use that to their advantage. I'm so promising. Sorry about that. So I'm going to roll with Memphis on this, but I got a feeling it's going to come down to the wire between Memphis and FAU, though. Duke, the 5th seed, versus Oral Roberts, the 12th seed, that 30-win team that I just mentioned. And they facing the Duke team who won the ACC. They are rolling at the right time. It's the Duke Blue Devils. But Oral Roberts has been here before. They have upset some teams like Ohio State, my Florida Gators in 1 year. I mean, they have been here before. There's nothing new to these guys. But with the way Duke has rolling now, Duke has found their stride. I'm going to roll with the Blue Devils now. Your full 13 matchup has the Tennessee Volunteers of the SEC versus the Louisiana Raging Cajuns. That injury, that big injury to that guard for Tennessee is going to be a problem. This has been the trendy 4-13 upset here because the injury to the guard for Tennessee. People like how Louisiana plays. I might join them right now. I'm leaning Louisiana. So, like I said, my bracket is not official. I'm just going through it right now, going off the top of my head with the way I'm feeling right now. So, right now, I'm leaning Louisiana. Your 6-11 matchup is the Kentucky Wildcats from the SEC versus the 11 seed, the Providence Flyers. Providence struggled in the Big East tournament. Kentucky didn't look good in the ACC tournament. So, which team? Both teams have won 21 games or 21-11. So, this could be interesting down in Greensboro. But I don't know, man. Kentucky doesn't look good. You thought they'll look good, but they don't. Providence had a chance, but they struggled too. This one of those games I just don't know right now. I really don't know. I might lean Kentucky because John Calipari found some ways around this time to get his team playing in the right direction. So I think I'm gonna lean Kentucky right now, but we'll see how I really feel when the freshman bracket is locked. Your 3-14 matchup is Kansas State versus Montana State. This is gonna be an interesting one. The great story from Keontae Johnson, a former Florida Gator. I am happy and pleased to see him playing ball again and played at a very high level because he is the leader of the Wildcats of Kansas State. Now, what can he do? Can he take that and use that to his advantage to give them a tournament win over Montana State, the Bobcats? That is not a slouch team. You're just not going to run over them like most people probably think. But I'm gonna roll with K-State. I'm gonna roll with K-State in that one. Then you have a 7-10 match between Michigan State and USC. Michigan State, disappointing year, to say the least, but they did get on the hot streak at the right time to get themselves into the tournament. USC, same as well. It was looking forward to them and UCLA to be fighting along with Arizona for the Pac-12, but that didn't happen. USC has been struggling. I like Tom Izzo. I'm gonna roll with Tom Izzo and get Michigan State in that one. Your 2-15 matchup is Vermont versus Marquette. Marquette, the Big East champions. And I'm just going to say, even though Marquette plays good ball, I'm not picking against Marquette. Smart coach of the year, without question. I'm not picking against that guy. Give me Marquette with no problem. And then that brings us to the final reason. The West region, ladies and gentlemen. As the reigning defending champion, the Kansas Jayhawks are the number one seed in this region. The crazy thing about this region is that Houston region goes to Kansas City, and I believe in the West region they go out to, I forgot where to go out to in the West region. I don't remember off the top of my head, but it's not in Kansas. That's somewhere else out there, farther west, by the way. So that was something interesting. But the Kansas Jayhawks, they will file their first round, and Coach Hill will be back if you watched the earlier part of the show. They'll be facing Howard, and the defending champs to handle their business on that one. I'm going with KU on that one. Sorry about that. But yeah, I'm going to roll with KU on that one with no problem. All right, continuing on. Your 8-9 matchup is the Arkansas Razorbacks from the SEC going against the final line of Illinois from the Big Ten. This one, Arkansas does not impress me enough to me to go with them. I'm a lean Illinois in that one. That's going to be my nine seed that does that. I'm going to roll with them. All right, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to roll with them. Okay. Yeah, 5-12 matchup. St. Mary Gale versus VCU. The Gales came up short in the West Coast Conference to Gonzaga. And they are facing up with the A-10 champions in the Rams of VCU. Ooh, boy. Oh, boy. I don't know. I just don't know. I think I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to roll VCU in this one. This is a surprise. 5-12 upset, VCU over St. Mary's. This is where I'm leaning at right now. This is where I'm leaning at. Here's a matchup against the full 13 matchup. The 4-seed UConn Huskies going against Iona, led by Rick Pitino, who is the favorite to get the St. John's job in the Big East. It would be fitting for Whip Pitino to knock off UConn in the first round of the NCAA tournament. It would be so fitting and lovely for me right now because I'm not a UConn fan. I can't stand UConn. I do love Mighty Cameron. I do love Mighty Cameron. I'm not going to lie. But I don't like UConn. But I can't do it. I can't do it. I got to go UConn. As much as I want to go Iona, I'm going to go UConn. Your 6-11 matchup is TCU, and they'll get the runner of Arizona State and Nevada. Now, if TCU gets Arizona State, I have a problem. But if TCU gets Nevada, I'm good. Arizona State is a team full of dogs in Arizona State. I'm just gonna put it like that. Are they flashy? Do they knock your shoes off if they play? No, not really. But Arizona State ain't going down without a fight. As Arizona, okay? When they went to Tucson, Arizona, at Arizona's home court and knocked them off at the buzzer. Arizona State, they going down swinging. You got to put Arizona out of their misery. And there are times this season where TCU don't put teams out of their misery. So that's a problem for me. So until I watch this game, until I find out who TCU's playing, I can't make a solid pick them now. I have to see who they pick. I got to see who they play. Gonzaga versus Grand Canyon is your 13-14 matchup. Even though Grand Canyon plays good ball, I like what they do. I'm not picking against Gonzaga in the first round. I'm not picking against Gonzaga in the first round. I'm not doing it. Your 7-10 matchup is Northwestern Wildcats taking on Boise State Broncos out in Sacramento. Shout out to Brian Snowman for his Wildcats making the NCAA tournament as a 7-seed. But if I'm being honest, no, man, I do not like this matchup for Northwestern. There is a good chance that Boise State knocks off Northwestern. There is a damn good chance that Boise State wins this game. This is not a very good matchup, okay? NC State is a 1.5 favorite, and this is what I'm trying to tell you. ESPN says that Boise State is a 51.5% chance favorite to win this game. This is not a good matchup for NC State. I'm going to be honest. Right now, I'm leaning Boise State, but I might change it when it's time. But right now, I'm leaning Boise State. I don't like this matchup for the Wildcats, no, man. I'm sorry to tell you this, but I really don't like this matchup. And that game is Thursday around 7:35. I just don't like this matchup. And then that leaves UCLA versus UNC Asheville. There's question marks around UCLA because they have injuries. And we ain't talking just any injury. We're talking big key injuries at that. So the injuries can play a big role in this one. We'll see how the injury list goes today, but nevertheless, that doesn't stop Vegas from putting the Bruins as a 17.5-point favorite. Thus giving them a 97% chance of winning, but yeah, I'm gonna roll with that. I'm gonna roll with UCLA in that one. All right. So that's how I'm gonna end this off right here on this episode right now. I'll be working on my brackets today and tomorrow and get down to the final four. I'm gonna see if the time permits that I will give you my final four on the show tomorrow. If not, because me and Megan will be talking women's on the women's side of it, but we'll see how that goes. And before we get out of here, ladies and gentlemen, one more thing I need to show you guys. So before we get out of here, let me share my screen real quick so y'all can see. Because if you haven't, ladies and gentlemen, join the bracket challenge, ladies and gentlemen. This is on our website, theplaymakersball.com. Shooting Lights Out Tournament Challenge, as you can see right here. We all set. Here's the rules. We are doing the tournament for the men's and women's. Both prizes are $100 each, a total of $200. If you win, if you play for both brackets, if you do brackets on both the men's and the women, you have a chance to win up to $200. $100 goes to the top winner of each bracket. So go ahead, subscribe to our website. Go ahead and make your bracket. Do what you do. Follow the website. Follow this podcast as we are going here. Here's the links right here. I'm gonna make sure I post these links in the show notes as well, so you can go ahead and get signed up and do what you got to do. Nevertheless, that is it. That is all I have right now for today's episode for Shooting the Lights Out. So with that being said, I'll catch y'all later.
Good. You've done great, but you can't stop here. You can't stop now. You gotta keep going. All your trials and your tribulations, you gotta keep pushing. Now, finish your camp.
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go. Gotta get it out the mud, gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go, let's go.
Thank you for tuning in today's episode. If you want to follow the podcast, you can follow it on all streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and a whole lot more. This has been Shooting the Lights Out.
Masterpiece.